Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
We're joined now in studio by The Economy, Andrew Sentence, former member of the Bank's Monetary Policy Committee, now senior advisor at Cambridge Econometrics. Good morning to you. Thank you for being with us on Bloomberg Radio. I'm interested to how much you might think. We had this new data out in the UK this morning showing slower than expected growth in July. Is a delay to a rate decision, could that possibly, do you think, change the calculation for the Bank of England?
I don't think so significantly. We've got interest rates at 1.75% with inflation at over 10% and heading north of that. Different estimates have it heading to at least 13%, perhaps further. It could be ameliorated by the government's energy plan, but I think there's a need to get interest rates up to a higher level to keep a lid on those inflationary pressures and ensure that they don't get embedded in the economy.
It does feel precarious to be lifting interest rates right now, considering we have the government about to embark on the spending, this energy policy plan. Deutsche Bank puts it at about £200 billion worth of gilt issuance that will need to happen as part of this. So you have this mix of interest rates going higher, more public spending. Does that dynamic worry you at all?
I think the package on energy is something that potentially could help the economy because it's going to take away some of these cost of living pressures. And while there might be concern about putting more demand into the economy, the impact on inflationary pressures could be quite positive. So it doesn't necessarily take away the need for higher interest rates, but it might mean that we don't have to have interest rates going up so rapidly because of the cost of living pressures feeding through into wages.
Where would you see neutral rates approaching then if we have this calculation, given what we know so far about the energy package, which is of course not all of the detail?
Well, the markets have been looking recently for rates to go up to around about 4% in the first quarter of next year. And I think that still remains a valid assessment. That's sort of round about where interest rates were before the global financial crisis. And it's not a super high level of interest rates, given what's happening to inflation. So I would expect the bank to continue to push interest rates in that direction. Whether they do it in sort of large steps or whether they do it more gradually, I think that will be the judgment I think they'll be making at next week's meeting.
I guess some of the concern in this market, again, is some of the language swirling around a concern of a balance of payments crisis. Can public finances support the planned spending at the moment when you have foreign investors fleeing gilt markets, when you have the pound as weak as it is?
Well, I think it depends very much on the way in which this plan is presented and what it really amounts to. We haven't really seen any proper figures. We're going to hear that from the Chancellor over the next few weeks, we're told. But if it's seen as a temporary thing to help the economy through a difficult time, I think public finances can cope with that. I think what the markets will be concerned about is if it somehow looks as if it's going to be a longer-term addition to public borrowing that is going to be very difficult to reverse. And that will be the trigger for more concern and more perhaps more decline in sterling.
Is that the clear message that Kwasi Kwarteng will need to lay out then when we do get the details of this as how the UK plans to manage that public debt?
Yes, absolutely. Though the UK has it's got quite a lot of borrowing capacity. We saw that in the global financial crisis. We saw it in the pandemic. If that is used sensibly to tide the economy through a difficult period, I think that's what one of the things that government's borrowing is there for, to act as a cushion. So I don't think that would be too alarming if as I say, it turns out to be a more temporary measure and doesn't turn out to be something which is going to be hard to reverse. The other thing that I think the markets will be looking at is, of course, the agenda from Liz Truss about tax cuts. And perhaps if there's a worry, it's that coming on top of this big energy package and the combined impact of the two.
Does the government need to put an upper price limit on how much they're willing to spend on this energy plan?
Well, the figures that are being bandied around are 100 to 150 billion pounds. Now, that's probably going to be spread. It's not all going to fall in one year. It's going to be spread over a number of years. So it's not going to all impact on the public finances straight away. So we're talking about perhaps half of that in one year and then half of it in another year. And then it begins to look a bit more reasonable. So I think we just have to wait to see the detail, because we didn't really get any detail in the statement that Liz Truss made. And then we've had the whole issue about dealing with the death of the Queen and the right. transition to King Charles.
Yeah, and, you know, I do realize in some sense we are talking a lot of hypotheticals here, so I appreciate your patience with that. So let me throw another hypothetical at you, Andrew. I'm got to apologize, but, you know, you talked about sort of the concern is, should we get tax cuts on top of this? What actually is the concern? What could happen? What are you fearful of if that's the dynamic we are facing?
Well, I think it would be the combined impact on demand of tax cuts plus this energy package. And therefore providing quite a substantial stimulus on the consumer side of the economy. Now, some people would say, well, perhaps we need that type of stimulus to keep the economy out of recession. But the other side of that is it's potentially adding to some of the inflationary pressures. And we have to remember that the inflation that we're seeing at the moment is not all down to energy prices or food prices or global factors. There is a domestic element to it. And that's the thing that the Bank of England needs to be particularly mindful of. And that's one of the arguments for continuing to raise interest rates.
The weak pound in all of this, how concerned should policymakers be? Is a weak pound good or bad for the economy at this stage?
Well, I think in the current conjuncture, it's not particularly helpful, because it's transmitting, adding to the pressures that we're getting from the global economy. So anything that goes up in dollar terms over the last year or so has gone up about 14% more in sterling terms, because that's been the depreciation of sterling against the dollar since the beginning of this year. So I think the weakness of the pound is a concern, and that is another reason, I think, why the bank might continue to push up interest rates, because interest rates are rising in many other countries, and if we're the one that doesn't follow that pattern, then that's going to add to the weakness of sterling.
Is there some degree, though, where weak sterling is helpful, considering we have a current account deficit and it would discourage bringing in, it would discourage imports and encourage exports given the weak pound? Is that helpful in any regard?
Well, one of the characteristics of the UK economy is our exports are not that price sensitive, and they don't respond very quickly or at all to change in the value of the pound, because we export mainly high value manufactures and services, and those things are not really very exchange rate sensitive. So even if there was some response from exports, it would be quite long term and wouldn't really necessarily help in the short term. I think the more immediate concern should be the impact of the pound on import prices mm-hmm. and on inflation.
Yeah, Stephen, what you just heard there was Andrew giving me a macroeconomics lesson. Much needed, might I add.
Another story that we've been digesting over the weekend has been Liz Truss's decision to remove Tom Scholar, the Permanent Secretary to the Treasury, from his position. A big decision for a new Prime Minister to make. What's your reaction to that, and what do you think it tells us about Liz Truss's leadership as Prime Minister?
Well, I think she wants to signal a new direction in terms of economic policy. I don't know what has gone on between Tom Scholar and Liz Truss and other members of her supporter group. But there's obviously a feeling that he may not be the right person to carry forward the economic agenda that she has in mind and Kwasi Kwarteng will have in mind. It is quite a different economic agenda to perhaps what we've seen before under Rishi Sunak, who was quite cautious. It looks like Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng may be prepared to take more risk, and that might include more borrowing in the short term. Their argument is that they think economic growth has to be the top objective, and they want to encourage that with various supply side policies, including tax cuts and deregulation and removing planning constraints. And that's going to be their agenda. And maybe they feel that the approach of Treasury officials in the past hasn't been very sympathetic to that. Mm.
If you were on the MPC today, would you be concerned about those sort of policies?
I think the devil is in the detail with those supply side policies. What they really amount to in practice. When it comes to tax cuts, as they're often described, I prefer to think of it as tax reform. Mm. And if you can get successful tax reform, that can be very beneficial for the economy. But it takes a while to feed through. Similarly with other easing of restrictions that might be there, like regulations or planning constraints. Most of the experience in previous supply-side changes has been they take perhaps up to 5 years to feed through into the economy, perhaps even longer. So it's not going to necessarily have an immediate effect. I think the bank won't be worried if they lead to much more demand stimulus, whether that's going to compound the problem of inflation.
You know, in addition to the ousting of this official, that there has been this sense that perhaps some of convention is done away with. I think of, for example, Kwasi Kwarteng meeting with Andrew Bailey. Now they're going to have weekly meetings. I mean, as an American, if you were to say, you know, the Fed and, you know, Powell is going to have weekly meetings with Biden's team or Trump's team, I mean, there would have been this massive uproar. Is there a concern about this breaking with tradition, that it could lead to changes and perhaps challenge, for example, the independence of the BOE?
Well, there's no harm in the Treasury and the bank getting together for meetings. I mean, they do it at various levels all the time, in fact, on certain issues. So that's not in itself a threat, but you make a good point about the independence of the bank. If this is seen to compromise the independence of the bank, then that is a much more serious issue. And, you know, it's down to the members of the Monetary Policy Committee to safeguard that independence and not to be influenced by Treasury thinking in a detailed way. Obviously, the bank has to take into account what the Treasury is planning on fiscal policy and other areas, but there shouldn't be a direct influence. I used to joke when I was on the MPC that the Treasury representative, who has always sat in the Monetary Policy Committee meetings, used to sit closest to the door so that the MPC could eject him or her if they started making trouble. But normally...
Did you ever have to?
No, we didn't.
I was going to say, we'll note Andrew is sitting in the closest seat in the radio studio to the door at this moment.
Yeah, yeah. But normally, actually, the Treasury representatives who attend the MPC and they don't vote or influence decisions in any way try and contribute helpful information rather than influencing policy. Mm.
We spoke to another former MPC member, Danny Blanchflower, a few weeks ago, and he told us that he thought that the bank should be cutting rates now and that it wasn't up to the MPC, essentially, to tackle this problem. This was needed to be done by fiscal heavy lifting. He also said that the MPC wasn't really any use in this situation because it takes so long for monetary policy decisions to feed into effect. What's your view on that?
Well, I'm not sure I agree with that because actually the MPC has been rather slow in responding to this inflation surge. And they made the first interest rate rise, which was only up to 0.25% at the end of last year when there was a case for doing it much earlier in the year. And we might have seen a bit more impact on inflation if they had started earlier. We can't have a one-way street for monetary policy where monetary policy is always used to stimulate the economy. And there have to be times when monetary policy is used to put a brake on inflation. And the inflation situation at the moment looks like such a time. Maybe we haven't had to do that very dramatically over the last decade or more since the global financial crisis. But if the Bank of England is not prepared to act when inflation's going up above 10% and higher, then their credibility, I think, will be seriously in doubt.
Has the MPC caught up then if they were slow in responding?
I don't think yet they've caught up, no. As to say, I think we'll be heading for, you know, 3 to 4% interest rates as we go through this year and into to the beginning of next year. That's the sort of level where you might expect to see more traction on inflation. And if some of the temporary factors feeding into inflation start to subside, then we could get into a more virtuous situation where interest rates have returned to more normal levels and some of the temporary factors on inflation are easing. And I think that's the sort of position that the MPC should be aiming to get towards.
What level do you think is neutral in this economy? What level do you think that they should be targeting for rates?
Well, it's very difficult to say because we've had such a long period of near zero interest rates. During that time, I would say interest rates were artificially low. And so it was very difficult to gauge what would be a normal level. And I think there has to be a period of discovery. But it doesn't seem plausible to me that 1.75% is going to be adequate to curb inflation in double digits. So it's got to be, I think, higher than where we are now. Where they will settle, I think we will find out as we go through the rest of the year and into next year.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.